Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome in to a brand new live reaction episode of Snaps. Okay, Aaron, for a second, I thought we had lost you. If you're just listening on podcast, it's T-Bob Hebert, Aaron Murray, youtube.com/@volumesnaps is where we're hanging out and recording tonight. We're live. We got a ton of people in chat hanging out. What's up, everybody? Great to see everybody. We're going to talk Florida, Georgia. We're going to talk about the big upset the Jayhawks pulling off against OU, Duke, Louisville, Utah, Oregon, Clemson. I mean, look, another great college football Saturday. And don't look now, but Nebraska is back. Pouring it on. The Corn Hub boys about to be tied for the lead in the Big Ten West. Thank you for the hearts who's ever hitting that in the chat. Remember, please subscribe, y'all. We're getting so close to 7K. So close. 6K has been a slog, but y'all are about it. Y'all are helping us. We're still making that climb. Shout out. Seattle Dives, what's up? I figured you'd be a Washington fan. It looks like you're actually a dog fan, which I guess could play either one. Aaron, what's up, man? How you feeling this Saturday? Look at us. Man, we're both wearing black.
I know. You're representing
for Georgia fan?
It's Georgia, Florida. Once again, T-Bob, and it will be what'd Georgia, Florida.
I wasn't even trying to troll. I thought I saw Georgia, Florida.
Said Florida. Another 365 days. So you have a lot of time to practice. A lot of time to practice.
Okay. Well, I heard, though, you went on pregaming the SEC with my other co-host, Jay Kester and Chris Doreen. Mm-hmm. And Doreen claims that it's a neutral site rivalry game. So does Andy Staples, so that you just have to do alphabetical order.
Yeah, and both like those guys went to Florida. So, of course, they're going to make that case.
Okay. Okay. That's true. That's true. Good point. What's up, though, dude? How was today, man? Pretty good day.
Today was good. It was so funny. I told Sharon, like, oh, the noon games are, you know, super great. If I'll take the kiddos because I'm off this weekend. Mm. And if you could take them at 3:30, that'd be great. And all of a sudden, like, the noon ones are getting super sexy. And I was like, oh. So yeah. I put the kids down maybe a little bit early for their nap so that that you know, 1 to 3:30 window that was supposed to be my time was actually nap time. So I kind of got off scot-free. So I was able to watch all the games.
Hell yeah.
She had to do all the work in the afternoon. But she's got a break.
So it was a win-win. For those that don't have multiple kids yet, that's a veteran move there. If you can time up or parental responsibility window with the naps, that's always big.
Yep.
And then you're just like, hey, I mean, you know, I did my job. I got to work. What do you want me to do? All right. I got to get this USC game on. It looks like I haven't even. Is it on the Pac-12 network?
Probably.
Motherfucker. I don't know if I have a Pac-12 network. Whatever. All right. Let's dive into the game today. Let's start. And don't worry, chat. We're going to get to all of your comments throughout the show today, like Bill Kibbe. Okay, bitches, what do you think about them dogs? It's a good one. We'll get into it. But I think we got to start with OU, right? Yes. Because by far the most impactful thing that happened today were the Kansas Jayhawks upsetting the Oklahoma Sooners to move to 6-2 in Kansas. And let's start with the headline stuff here, okay? This is Kansas's first win over Oklahoma since 1997. It's their first top 10 win since the late 80s. And let's really stop for a second, because if you're our age, Aaron, you hear 1997, you're like, oh man, that's crazy. But what you may not appreciate, what that really means is that there was not a player alive on the Kansas roster that had been on this earth, that had emerged out of their father's nutsack and seen Kansas beat Oklahoma. Like, this was the literal first time that any of those human beings walking the earth in the Kansas sideline would have seen a Jayhawk win over Oklahoma. That's massive. And once again, we are all forced to confront and accept that Lance Leipold is putting on an absolute masterclass in Lawrence. Here's my other favorite stat, and then I'm going to get your reaction, Aaron.
Yep.
Matt Zenitz tweeting, Kansas's record from 2010 to 2021, listen to this, was 23-118. And that includes like a last mile stop, all that. 23-118. In 2 years under Lance Leipold, they're 12-9.
Wow.
And 6-2 this season. Give that man all the roses. Massive fucking win. And the best part is, Aaron, I had started writing Kansas's obituary. I'm taking notes and I'm writing my thoughts out. And I had already written, oh, well, Oklahoma just, you know, Jason Bean made too many mistakes in the end, blah, 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 blah. And look at what fucking happened, dude.
Well, it was a weird game. The weather was, obviously, there's a weather delay for those watching it, and just was not the best day for throwing the football. I mean, Dylan Gabriel had 19 completions or 19 attempts on the day. And you said, like, Jason Bean was making the mistakes throwing the football. And you kind of think, like, man, at some point, Oklahoma's just going to take that and run away with it. And neither team was kind of doing that. It was just a close running the football game, ugly weather. And the difference was not Jason Bean's arm, but it was his legs, which I was shocked. Like, I'm watching the game, and they kept referring to his track speed. He's like a 200-yard.
Well, yeah, that's always been Bean's thing. He's just a fucking speed demon.
I didn't realize like he was like that fast. Like when he took off on the one touchdown run, because there's a difference between being essentially a track guy running a 200 meter and being football fast. Like, it doesn't always translate. Like, are you quick fast or do you need the open space to kind of take off and run? And he put the team on his back knowing that it's not great weather. And he did have a good throw there in that last possession on a little dagger route, which was pretty nice. But his run and his running ability, four carries for 62 yards and the rushing touchdown, long of 38, was awesome to see. Oklahoma, it's a tough loss, man. It's a tough loss not only for them, but interesting to see what happens with the national perspective of the Big 12 in general, too, right now.
How that hurts that league. It's kind of, and you got like kind of a shitty feeling Oklahoma State team kind of emerging. It's like, well, I guess Kansas would be in this conversation now and they're much
Kansas
better
State
feeling
next week. Cause I'm not loving Oklahoma. I'm not loving Texas right now.
All I'm saying is like OU and Texas appear to be weakening. Yep. And I don't want to include Kansas in this cause I love their momentum, but like Oklahoma State has a lot. West Virginia is actually pretty high up there. And those don't feel like especially good teams, but they're at the, you know, they're right under the top guys, the Big 12. So like last year, the Big 12 was really even top to bottom and pretty good. This year they feel, you know, relatively even top to bottom, but maybe like kind of bad. And so, yeah, Oklahoma Tech's better to stop messing around here because it's looking like a playoff scenario that's going to shape up with a lot of contenders, and the Big 12 get left out real easy.
Well, Oklahoma's been playing with fire the entire season, man. Like, you go back and look at some of their games throughout the year, and even like that Cincinnati game, 20-6, never really pulled away from that one. The UCF game last week, and then now kind of this game right now. And then obviously we all remember the Texas game. Like, that was a great game. That's a great win, but still one that was essentially a coin toss. You needed a last second drive to go win that game. So you've been playing on the verge of getting that first L. I still think it's a good team. I still think when you look at their schedule that I would still have them favored versus Oklahoma State, versus West Virginia, versus BYU, CCU, like 100%. Like, they should win those games, but they also should have won today too. So maybe it was the weather. This is a pass-first team. It was good to see Oklahoma and in crappy situations be able to run the football? Like, that was my big question. Could you, against a Kansas football team that has struggled against the run this entire season defensively, could you actually run the football? Because that's something that Oklahoma has not been able to do unless it's been Dylan Gabriel. Well, Walker went off for 146 yards at 269 yards total for the game. So, like, they should gain some confidence there. The problem goes back to the defense. Guys out of position throughout the game. Guys were overrunning plays.
We're burying the lead because that should have been the lead of this entire conversation because so much was made about Venable's defense being awful last year, which they were. And then they were really damn good this year. Like, not just okay, not good. They were actually elite at the very beginning of this year. And now you have 2 weeks in a row of major aggression. And if you look at the last 2 weeks, not only has the defense failed overall, Aaron, but they have failed in the biggest moments. You know, last week you're up by eight. Sure, you end up coming up with a 2-point conversion stop to win the game, but like, to let them score, to let UCF, who got absolutely dominated by WU today, to let them score in the manner that you did is pretty inexcusable. And then to force the turnovers that you did late against Kansas here, and then with the game on the line to let them get the fourth down conversion, let them score again, inexcusable. So all the fears, all the insecurities you had about that Brent Venables defense allowing big plays and everything else, you were hoping they were gone.
27 yards.
But they're back.
It's been 3 weeks. It's not just 2 weeks. Like, you won the last two.
That's true. I'm not thinking about that, though, because they won that game.
Yeah, but they also won UCF. Like, it's been, once again, it's been the offense having to bail out the defense. And yeah, the defense had some really nice turnovers in early on that Texas football game, but they still had over 500 yards, and it took Dylan Gabriel marching them down the field in the fourth quarter at the end of the game for them to win it. So there are still problems on that side of the football that it's not USC. Like, I don't want to say like this is the same thing as the Trojans that are horrendous once again this year. There is progress for Oklahoma on the defensive side of the football, but it's not like there's some world beaters all of a sudden.
No, they have to be better, though. They have to be better. Yes, it's not okay to be okay on that side of the ball. Like, that's Brent Venables' bread and butter. Yep. Like, they have talent there. They have to be better. And what's interesting, it's the fascinating thing, Aaron, that just a couple of weeks, what a couple of weeks can do to you in college football, where a month ago, Brent Venables is a made man. He's essentially a god. He won this all-important Red River rivalry at the Texas State Fair. Everybody's in love with him. Now a couple of shaky weeks in which the defense completely fails in the biggest moments, and all of a sudden, a little grumbling starting up once again. You know, what's going on here? So, look, Oklahoma still controls their own destiny, certainly. But it looks more and more now than ever that not only will they have a rematch with Texas, but you're going to start to find, and Aaron, I'm sure you're already on this. Like, I know you're on this probably with Oregon and Washington, but if Oklahoma and Texas play today, who do you think wins?
Texas.
Yeah, I see. Exactly. I knew you were going to say that.
But the problem is right now with Texas, you know, and I was watching that game today too. We'll stick on the Big 12 theme here. Malik Murphy was not impressive to me. And you look at their schedule next week, like,
logged down for the middle two quarters of that game. Yeah.
Their defense was great today. Like, their defense won it. They had the punt return for a touchdown. Like, if BYU just would have punted the ball instead of throwing interceptions, it would have been I think they might have covered the spread, which, you know, I'm kind of pissed off they didn't. But regardless, I'm worried for them next week versus Kansas State. And we'll break that down later down the road. I don't want to focus on that right now. But yeah, you should be worried right now as a Big 12 fan. Because if Texas loses next week, but then gets yours back, and I think Texas in a rematch versus Oklahoma will get it, the Big 12 may knock themselves out.
Well, but that's maybe where it gets interesting. If you're a Big 12 fan, you're actually probably pretty happy because you don't want Texas or Oklahoma making the playoff their last year in the Big 12, right? Like, you're kind of like, fuck these motherfuckers. I hope they all lose and get the hell up out of here. So Big 12 fans might be okay. Yeah, Oklahoma and Texas fans need to be concerned.
You have to agree that this is the last legit year that a Big 12 team will have a possibility of winning a national championship.
No. I can't say that simply because if you're in the 12 team playoff, I'll always give you a chance. I'm going to treat it like the NFL
the best
playoff,
chance.
Even though it's not exactly.
This is the best chance.
But they're still not going to take any pride in it. You think they're going to be happy if Texas or OU wins a natty?
It still goes in the record books as a Big 12 champion.
I will have to agree, disagree. One final thing, and then we'll move on to Georgia. This is okay. I want to highlight again. Let's go back to Kansas. I want to highlight Jason Bean. I want to give him loves because this is, I'm going to read my notes verbatim here. For Kansas fans, you just got to be wondering what this season would be like if Jalen Daniels had stayed healthy. Jason Bean is exciting and makes big plays, but he just makes too many obvious mistakes. Mm. Jalen Daniels does not. Still, love what Leipold's building. Wish the Jayhawks could have gotten the win today. So congratulations to Jason Bean for shutting my Nick games, shoving my mid-game notes right up my ass, because after throwing two horrific interceptions where you felt like you ruined everything, you know, the first win since 87, like everything came down to you and you ruined it all, to stare down the long field that he did at the end of the game and find a way into the end zone, do not take that for granted. Mm-mm. And look, I know maybe Kansas shouldn't have scored at the end or whatever, but the defense had been salty. Oklahoma got a bit lucky on the crazy underthrow to get the 40-yard gain. I don't hate it. Kansas wins. Congratulations, Jason Bean. That's fucking awesome. That's a memory that no matter what you do in your entire life, you'll carry that with you for the rest of your life. Congrats. Rock chalk. Jayhawk. Mm. All right. Georgia, Florida. Today in Jacksonville. Aaron, if I was trying to go to this game, you know where I would have gone? I would have gone to Game Time. Mm-hmm. That's right. Or if you're trying to go to a World Series game, NBA game. Now we got hockey upon us as well. The bottom line, you want to go to a game in live in person, you want to download Game Time because it's the best way to get tickets on any of these games. It's the fastest growing ticketing app in the U.S., and they're obsessed with finding ways to help you save money. So you can find flash deals, sponsored deals on games, concerts daily, okay? With zone deals, you pick the section and Game Time picks the seats for big time savings. Also, with the Game Time guarantee, you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. How about that? So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code SNAPS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and enter code SNAPS. That's S-N-A-P-S for $20 off. Download Game Time last-minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. All right. I know we got a lot of dog fans in the chat right now, so let's get into it. Georgia, Florida. Mm. Interesting beginning, right? Florida comes out and scores.
Yep.
Georgia stalls in the red zone, even though Florida doesn't even have a third down play called, and the D coordinator's running out there trying to call timeout. Yeah. And it's like, oh, and then we're like, oh, wait, no, Florida's actually awful.
Yeah. Oh, God. Hey, listen, they scripted for success that first drive. And I thought they did a really good job of, you know, one, running the football. I mean, I said in my keys to the game for Florida, if you want to make this a game, one, you got to be able to run it. And two, Eugene Wilson, who's your best athlete, has to be involved. And he was. Like, you saw how talented he is and why the comparisons to Percy Harvin are kind of being floated around Gainesville at the moment. The guy's an absolute stud.
Wait, he's electric to the ball. Who's being compared
to Eugene Percy Wilson? Harvin? Eugene Wilson, number three.
Yeah, but why?
Because he's electric as hell.
So wait, we're comparing him to maybe the most electric football player we've seen our entire life in the SEC?
I'm not saying that's what the first name Eugene would be compared to Percy Harvin. Gainesville is talking about. I'm not saying that. I was in Gainesville. I'm just
With Bill Kimmy. Who?
I'm just relaying the message to you, T. Bob. Don't shoot the messenger over here. Jeez Louise. All right. Anyways, it was perfect. It was a perfect start for the Gators until Georgia's defensive line showed up and played the best game that they've played the entire season. Yeah. Like, that was the difference. Like, we'll get on the offense and how good Carson was, and, you know, the run game and the receiver stepping up and Oscar making plays and yada 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 yada. To me, the biggest thing and the biggest difference was that D line showed up. They showed up. They harassed Graham Mertz. They slowed down the run game. So I think between that and then Billy Napier with some just awful decisions, man. Awful decisions on some play calling. You're actually moving the ball. Then you try some double reverse. That killed momentum. Then on a fourth down, you try a trick play from 1 yard, and that gets just big stuffed.
Scared money don't make money. Even though there is something inherently scared about running a trick play on fourth and one. Like, either go for it or don't. Like, are you a bitch or not? Like you go for it or you don't. Like, don't hit me with any fanciful bullshit on fourth and one.
The bad decisions, some bad moments for them was the big difference. So, but Georgia's D-line, it was good to see those guys finally have a game in which maybe you silence some of the critics about, you know, obviously it's not as elite as they've been for the past 2 years, but are you good enough to win a championship with that D-line? I think they answered that.
So let's talk about, you're right. So the D line's interesting, Aaron, to me, because, like, if you're a real Georgia fan, that's probably what you were looking at, right? Like, that's a bit of the Georgia deeper cut. Mm-hmm. If we want to talk about the surface level cut, like what made all the national shows, what everybody was talking about, it's okay, who's going to step up in Brock Bowers' absence? We talk about a lot. And look, I would say credit to Aaron, Josh Pate, Colin Wilson, all in the Snaps family, who all said that they thought that we would see a more explosive Georgia football team. Sans Brock Bowers, not better, but more explosive. And Ladd McConkey going for a 40-yard touchdown to take a 10-7 lead kind of set the tone in that regard. And then you look up at the end of the game, Ladd McConkey, 6 grabs, 135 and a score. Okay, you said Ladd was going to do it, and credit to him. He done and did it.
Well, you had two receivers that averaged over 20 yards this game. You know, Ladd had 6 for 135, 22-yard average. And then Dom Lovett, you know, we talked about him and how his best game was the last time they played, and how you saw him starting to emerge as a receiver, 4 catches, 83 yards, 20 yard average. So
still there was some touchdown for Lovett on the year and for Ra-Ra. Yeah. I don't know what's going on. They got to find a way to get in the end zone if Georgia's going to win a championship, but still an explosive day for the receiving corps. He had really a
part of the offense for 3 or 4 games now. Like, he was not on the field for the first 4 games of the season at all.
Oh, besides, see, I'm not watching that close. I didn't realize that
he wasn't. He was struggling learning the playbook, and you kind of understand why. It's two completely different offenses from where he was to where he is now. So, and if you look at the total stats this year for Georgia, Carson does a great job of spreading the wealth. You know, I know there's a lot of focus on Brock, so Brock kind of gets all the attention. But from there, he does a good job mixing it up, which, you know, obviously for a defense is an absolute pain in the butt to have to deal with. So I thought it was a great win. Like I said, the defense was the most impressive thing to me, that D-line. And Carson, for another game, throws for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, very efficient, accurate with the football, good decision-making. They ran the ball really well. It was one of those games where, to me, yeah, we're going to look up at the end of the season. Florida's going to be 6-6, so it may not mean as much then.
But it's not going to.
Right now, it's as we head into the first playoff ranking, this was a statement win for Georgia at the moment. That
we can't call it statement. We can't.
I think the committee will look at it and say, like, okay, back to back national champs, and they just dominated in a rivalry game against a 5-2 football team. Enough to keep them at one.
No, time out. The playoff committee is not going to ding Georgia for something like this. But let's not go so far as to call this a statement win. This is a bad Florida team. I mean, Aaron, I even tried to give the defense credit on Wednesday for Florida because I'm looking it up statistically, and I'm like, you know, they're not awful. And then you're like, well, who have they played? And you were exactly right. Like they obviously hadn't played anyone. They finally ran into a good offense. And well, look what happened.
Was this a good enough win to allow the committee to put them at one? I say keep this
being the first rate. Probably with the history of coming up back-to-back natties, or it's going to be Michigan. But functionally, what does it fucking matter? It doesn't. It'll be good TV. Now, the more interesting TV, well, actually, I don't know which the more interesting one would be. Because either one, if you put Georgia or Michigan.
Don't put Michigan in the top four because of the cheating scandal. Yeah, that would be interesting TV.
Now, that would be an overcorrection. Like, I think I finally figured out how I feel about that scandal. And like Deflategate, it's probably no big deal in the end. But like Deflategate, it's kind of fascinating to us because it exposes a level of gamesmanship that we were not aware of previously. Mm-hmm. And it was taken to a new level. Brady didn't do this in Deflategate, but Michigan definitely took sign stealing to a new advanced level that we hadn't seen previously as well, which combined with the correlation adds to the interest. But look, Georgia will be 1 or 2 in the first playoff ranking. So, like, Georgia fans have nothing to worry about. Yep. I want to talk about Carson Beck in a second. Real quick, though, I don't want to just, you know, rush past this, but my boy Juice Gentile, who's a Alabama fan, texts me during the game. And I know this joke's been made 1,000 times, but it's like, I can't lose sight of it. It says, how is a white guy named Ladd McConkey good at wide receiver? I mean, we just can't go a day, like, just really stop and appreciate the fact that you have a white, goofy-ass looking TikTok dude named Ladd McConkey tearing up the SEC at receiver.
Dude, and he was pulling away from
DBC. I know.
Like, that speed on that. I knew he had speed. But he had a couple runs where I was like, damn, lad. Like, I knew you had some wheels, but you were pulling away from guys on defense. And, like, you always think Florida and athletes, and he was pulling away from those athletes.
Jonathan they've been Bernstein missing that. Says, I'm sorry, go ahead, Aaron.
No, just say they've been missing that from him.
Oh, no, they have. They have. And, you know, he was hurt, and now he's healthy. So, and he's got opportunity, and he did the most of it. Like, if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm ecstatic because I wanted to see Ladd McConkey step up, and he did. Jonathan Bernstein said something tells me T-Bob's picking Mizzou next week. No, not in Athens, bro. Come on. Talk about it. Again, my Georgia doubt has never been about the regular season or the SEC championship. It is simply come playoff time, will they be good enough or not? But they're starting to convince me. Like, I'm not going to front. Georgia is starting
to
convince me.
Next week will be a good game, though. Can we figure out a way to do a Snaps live show in Missouri or in Athens for the Missouri game?
Oh, that'd be so sick. It's on Saturday, though.
I think it'd be a little bit hard for you with
I got
Alabama, LSU.
I mean, that's basically a national holiday or a local state holiday around these parts. If LSU beats Alabama next week, Louisiana might fall into the ocean from people jumping up and down all at the same time. We got to talk about Carson Beck. It would probably gone too long without talking about Carson Beck. He was fantastic today. Very efficient. 19 of 28, 315, two touchdowns. Again, I continue to be impressed. It's not overwhelming to the point where I'm willing to fully give myself over to him quite yet, but it's also not as underwhelming as it was early on where I'm like doubting him anymore. Yeah. Like, he's definitely winning me over.
He's a stud. I'll let the play for the rest of the season kind of do the talk. And you know, he has two more weeks. Like, this was a rivalry game, so maybe it means a little bit more for Georgia fans. But the next 2 weeks are really more of the statement game for him. And even Tennessee and in Knoxville. And Tennessee's a good defense. But you're going against a good Missouri team and a good Ole Miss team without still your best weapon in Brock Bowers. Like, Florida's not a good team. Like, you and I know, this will be a 6-6 team. No, it's all said and done. They're 6-6 football.
That's what we got. Missouri, I know it feels good to be your rivals, and I don't want to, like, dog fans shit on him, have fun with tonight.
Yes.
But that's a bad team.
Yes.
Or an okay team, whatever you want to
call
it.
These next two teams are really good football teams that can score points.
I agree with that. I love
Missouri. That maybe you have to possibly match, similar to what, like, I don't think it's going to be like an LSU Missouri game that we saw a few weeks ago where, you know, it gets into the 40s. No, bro. But like, these next two games and even three games are your three hardest games of the season.
Your three hardest games. No. The end of if I'm a Georgia fan, I'm super excited because the end of the schedule has now evolved to a point where you actually feel like it's going to better prepare you for the postseason.
Yes.
Like, my big worry for Georgia was that they were just going to sleepwalk through this entire season and they're going to wake up in the playoff. They're going to get a fist fight. They're going to be like, what the fuck? But they got in a fist fight in Jordan Hare and they found a way out. And I'm like, okay, that's a bonus point. And then they handle this team. That's a bonus point, right? Mm-hmm. And then, so yeah, if they go down against some actual good teams at the end here and they handle them, well, then they're all of a sudden looking pretty championship ready to me.
I agree. So, I agree. This is going to be a fun 3-week stretch. So I think Carson's prime, though. I think Carson right now, he's lathered up. He's seeing the field well. He's throwing the ball extremely well. You know, we know what he can and can't do, and I don't think he can't do much. He's pretty much checked off all the boxes in my opinion. Now that the team trusts him and the coordinator Bobo trusts him and Kirby trusts him, it's full steam ahead for number 15. So great win, man. Yeah. He's a first rounder. He's a first fucking rounder. Can make some special
throws. Are there any other? Well, he'll be a first. Maybe. Georgia's getting okay. So, have you ever heard about my Alabama theory? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia's getting into that weird territory where if I'm an NFL scout, I have to really make sure I love the individual. And granted, they have a lot of individuals kicking ass, so it's not hard to follow, right? But it's because anytime they play a team, it's not an even playing field. Like in the NFL, it's an even playing field. So individuals start to rise and fall. Every time Georgia plays, they are significantly better than their opponent on a pure player to player basis. So it's like,
I know it's hard to judge, but without Brock, is there a first rounder or second rounder on that team right now on the offense?
Oh, that's
he's throwing to?
It's not an unfair point. It's not unfair.
Like,
you're right.
Like, I mean, no. Alabama, you know, they had first round receivers. So like it was kind of hard like to judge, say, Jones. Yeah, like
drafting Mac Jones when he had three guys.
Heisman Trophy winner receiver.
Exactly. Yeah, like, like that you might have fucked up there a little bit.
Yeah, but that's a little harder.
It's true.
But like that's why we said like these next three or four weeks for Carson were the most important for him to, if he wanted to leave after the season, to ball out. Because now you're saying like, hey, I got a bunch of guys that are transfer receivers, a white guy in Ladd McConkey, that none of these guys are going to be first or second round draft picks. Maybe they're mid round guys, but like without Brock, who is my first round guy, if I can play at a high level, true, then you know that this kid is legit.
Well, and if he wins a championship, you know, like that, it's like Friday Night Lights. Like that just always helps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's get some. Oh, look at that. Washington in the end zone. Let's fucking go Huskies. There you go, Aaron.
I need it, baby.
Charlie Shepard, Delp had a very Brock catch today. Trust me. Mm-hmm. The announcers let us know. I mean, as soon as he caught it.
Cal 43 points.
43?
All right, let's get to Oregon, Utah, then we'll get to USC.
Well, first, let's get to DraftKings. NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, is celebrating with an unbeatable offer. Right now, new customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets for throwing down $5 on the NBA. Win or lose, like it doesn't matter. You start the season with an instant dub. And always remember, the DraftKings parlays, everyone's got a shot at even bigger basketball wins. So string together multiple bets in the same game or build a parlay across multiple games for a shot at making your payday even sweeter. Bottom line is, basketball is more fun when you're in on the action. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code TBOB, T-B-O-B. New customers get $200 in bonus bets instantly for betting just $5. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code TBOB, T-B-O-B. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana, 21 or older, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
JLab has something for everyone with earbuds and headphones that are as versatile as you are. Perfect for calls, listening to podcasts, and working out. They are built for every single moment. JLab is proud to partner with powerhouse college athletics, UCLA, Duke, Gonzaga, Indiana, St. John's, TCU, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Minnesota, San Diego State, and more. From lively tailgates to coaches' play calling and courtside rivalries to college athletics NIL deals, JLab joins the action and connects with 182 million plus college sports fans nationwide. They're excited to partner with 17 D1 college schools, showcasing their passion and loyalty of fans and athletes across the United States. Whether creating cutting-edge tech products or pursuing athletic greatness, being the best takes hard work and commitment. JLab is proud to partner with schools who are showcasing the hard work, perseverance, and even the championship celebrations across all college sports. Use code SNAPS25 for 25% off your order. Visit JLab.com to find your kind of tech.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you are an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about an American-made success story in Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches are not owned by Big Tobacco. They're an independent company proudly built right here in the USA for 21 and over adult consumers. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. They believed the market wanted tobacco alternative nicotine products that offered the best of both worlds. Bold flavor, full pouches. What are they made of? It's pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. Most importantly, there's no tobacco leaf or stem. All proudly made right here in the USA. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out the store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Huh, how interesting, Aaron. It's already 10-0 in Lexington in a night game, despite all of you telling me how fucking good Kentucky is all the time. I will continue to hammer this. I think Mark Stoops is the most overpaid coach in college football, not named Jimbo Fisher. Okay, whatever. Let's talk Utah, Oregon. Aaron, I have a geography question for you. Does it get cold in the Pacific Northwest? And PG, maybe you can answer. I don't know what your geographical knowledge is like. I don't know. Like, does it get cold there? Does it snow? Because I'm just thinking about, like, okay, when Big 12 teams have to go to Utah in late October, November, it's going to be fucking awful. Okay. Yeah. PG said it maybe so Seattle. Okay. So maybe they were used to it. I thought maybe the weather was going to be a big advantage for Utah today, but this is a tough ass Oregon Duck team, dude.
Oregon plays in crap weather all the time. What are you talking about? It may not be snow, but it's like in the 30s, 40s and misting. Like, that's not okay. Like great. Yeah, that's.
Look, I don't know geography. I just told you. What are you going to come at me after I expose a weakness? What kind of that's a bad friend. I just expose an insecurity.
Have you never like seen like dumb? People talk about Seattle and how it's always gloomy and just nasty. And
yeah, I know whatever. It rains. I don't know. It rains every day here in Louisiana. I don't know, dude. Whatever. Okay, Whatever. The point is Oregon looks damn good. Yeah. They go into a hostile Utah environment. And again, I always thought Oregon was going to win this game. Like the difference in offenses was way too big. We talked about it all week. But I did not see 35-6. Mm-mm. And I was a bit shocked when, let's be clear, our gambling guy Colin is right about almost everything. But his system, sometimes the numbers can go awry. His system did spit out a Utah +6.5, which made me kind of question, what am I missing here? Mm-hmm. And apparently not much, because it kind of played out like we thought it would, as the gulf between Bo Nix and Bryson Barnes might as well be the fucking Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm. It was, it may not go down. I tweeted this earlier. It may not go down as the best win of the season, because there's some pretty awesome wins that we've seen this year so far that may make, you know, certain teams more national powers when it comes to the playoff rankings, all that good stuff. This was, to me, to date, the most impressive win of the season. To go to Utah.
For Oregon.
This was, okay. No, like nationally.
That's
maybe not the most important win, but the most impressive win. The way they did
I like your little radio sports take semantic flair there. Not the most important win, but the most impressive.
The most impressive win. Because they dominated. Utah does not lose in that stadium. That's true. They don't. And Utah, why they won so many games and why have they been back-to-back Pac-12 champion teams is because they have been the more physical football team in that conference. And Oregon today, on the road in a hostile environment, was the more physical football team. And we knew they were going to be the more athletic team. They had the speed, they had the better quarterback, but could Utah, with being at home and being so good in that stadium and the physicality in which they play, could they somehow find a way to make it close, which they've done over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And Oregon said, hell no. They were the aggressors. They're the ones that came out punching, and then we knew they'd be more athletic on top of that. It's like the way that they won that football game, being the aggressors, and then 35-6 and just kicking ass from first to fourth quarter, that was, to me, like I said, the most impressive win I've seen this entire season.
Bill says, I think Oregon's defense is built in a much more physical manner. Yeah, I mean, that's the difference with Oregon under Dan Lanning.
Yep.
Is the defense is badass. And you know what's funny, Aaron? Oregon feels, and this is why they did so good in Washington as well, Oregon has the makeup of a great road team.
Mm-hmm.
Because a few things that travel well. First off, physical, great defense. We all know that. Secondly, a running game. And Bucky Irving has been fucking fantastic this year, continues to be. But thirdly, Aaron, having the literal most experienced quarterback in NCAA history does not hurt. When you have to hit the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where Oregon starts to feel really strong as a contender, is that as great as the home field advantage in Eugene is, neutral site, bowl game, it doesn't matter. In theory, they have a team that is able to handle a lot of that very well. So an absolute statement game by Oregon. Again, I thought they were going to win. I did not see this complete and utter dominance coming.
I'm glad they did, though. Got me some money, that's for damn sure. They're one of the best teams, and I will stick with this. They will beat Washington in a rematch. They're the better football team.
I just hate that they're the more like that after Washington. See, so
fucking team.
This is maybe where my PTSD is coming in from losing Alabama after beating them, because I agree with you. I wrote it down right here in my notes. Like, it feels like that now it's clearly coming down to Washington and Oregon for the Pac-12, right?
Yep.
USC's a joke. They're out. There's been other frisky teams that are falling off. This was Utah's kind of final stand sort of feeling. And so now already Husky fans got to be doing that annoying sweat where you got to think, can you beat it? Can you beat them twice? Mm-hmm. Can you beat a good team twice? It's one of the worst feeling in sports. And if you want to extend it for Husky fans, it's really, can you beat a good team thrice? Mm-hmm. Because you did it last year. You did it this year. And now you're going to have to try to do it likely a third
And I will say this, Washington has the harder path going forward this season. Like, you look at Oregon's schedule the rest of the way, USC, who probably won't be ranked, Arizona State, and then Oregon State. And three of those games are at home. The only one is on the road at Arizona State. Where you look at Washington, they got to play at USC versus Utah, at Oregon State, and then Washington State. So, you know, two games on the road, a little bit more, you know, I would say a better competition. So Oregon may be feeling a little bit fresher too, heading into that one, have a little bit more revenge factor in their mind. It's going to be a great game. I mean, it will be very similar to the first time. They both got to make it there, obviously. Can't slip up. But yeah, it's going to come down to those two. And if Oregon plays the way that they played tonight, which was just dominant on both sides of the football. They did have a turnover, though. We talked about that this team does not turn the ball over. Did have one fumble, but obviously did not cost them with winning 35-6.
I get what you're saying. It just frustrates me because I'm a Washington fan. I'm like, fuck you all. Like, we beat them twice, and you're still just saying they're going to beat us? It's like, it's literally exactly what you said a couple weeks ago. And did you see the video of Michael Penix Jr. freestyling the comeback into existence?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Jalen McMillan maybe that tweeted out, but there's sideline video of Penix freestyling to McMillan. And apparently McMillan claims that it was all about when they were losing in the fourth, it was all about coming back to win. And it's exactly what they fucking did. Like, so I hope Washington keeps it going, dude. But
you're gonna have two teams that have major chips on their shoulder, thinking that they're the underdogs heading into that game, which will be absolutely hilarious. Yes.
And Seattle go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, and for Utah, like it finally came back to bite you in the ass. You know, like, you've been skating by being the more physical team in the conference. You know, Bryson Barnes played great last week, but like we said in our pregame show, like, don't let that fool you, because as we're witnessing once again, USC is complete shit. So, like, last week was great, but you were going against maybe the worst defense in the Pac-12. Yeah. Like, fool's gold. Fool's gold. And Oregon is the best defense in that conference. So,
I still will maintain you don't give Washington's defense enough respect. Washington's defense has won them two games this year and three if you want to count Oregon. So, like, at a certain point, they may not be as good as Oregon, and I agree with that, but they're not bad.
No.
Like, they're better than what you give them credit for.
Listen, I don't know why you're like such a Washington defender here.
They're my heart and soul team. I'm not being a fan. I'm not being an analyst. I'm being a fan here. I love, you know,
the only thing to do with them. So, like, Utah, that was a rude awakening, but you knew that was coming eventually. Like, you knew, just like we talked about earlier with what game we're talking about with Oklahoma, where you're kind of playing with fire a little bit. Like, at some point, it's going to bite you in the ass with Bryson Barnes, and it did in a big way in this game.
Okay, a couple things that I want to get to here in the chat. Shout out Seattle Dives. Don't forget to like the streams so these boys can keep producing for our entertainment. Thank you so much. Please like, subscribe. It's like the easiest thing you do to help us out. Secondly, honest question, would you rather have Carson Beck, Bo Nix, or Michael Penix commanding your team in the national championship game? I'm still going with Penix at this point. You know, he made the plays in the big moment to win. Carson Beck's still unproven. And as much as I love Bo Nix, he kind of choked in that Washington game, if we're being honest. Like the play right before half, the third down screen right before
half,
was
an easy
touchdown.
It's definitely not Bo. Well, then he got outplayed by Michael Penix in that game.
Yes.
And that if you're a Washington fan, at least you know when the rematch does occur, you do have the better of the two quarterbacks. I don't know if you have the better of the two teams, but you have the better of the two quarterbacks. So that always is a major plus in determining games when it's all said and done, especially big games and big time moments. So I would go Penix 1, Carson 2, Bo 3.
I think I'd still have to go Bo 2 because we're talking about the literal most, again, experienced quarterback in NCAA history. But maybe Beck can prove me wrong over these next 3 weeks and make me, because he's been consistently making me more of a believer all year long. Maybe he can continue to chip away at my hard exterior.
I may take Jaden over all of them still.
Yeah, that's my dog. There we go. Cody Brunet says, T-Bob, I can make the argument that Lincoln Riley's most overpaid coach of college football. Aaron, how about this? Bad week, a bad season to be a Riley brother. Like, not only are Lincoln Riley and USC kind of a disaster, as he has the same record as Clay Helton, and if they lose tonight, he'll have a worse record, but Garrett Riley and this Clemson offense is a fucking disaster. Yeah. And all offseason, we continue to give them so much credit, Dabo, for firing his boy and hiring Garrett Riley. Well, it ain't really made any difference.
We all did. No, you did.
No, the college football hive mind did.
You did.
Yeah, I did. No, you I did. Did. I did.
I did you not did you did jump not. On that train.
Aaron did actually tell you that this was most definitely the team in the top 10 that was most likely to fall out of the top 10. And he continues to be more and more right every single week in that regard.
I'm still waiting for an apology from Clemson fans. I even gave them let them know tonight that I'm waiting for it and still have not gotten an apology for them
Aaron,
just ripping me.
Have you heard about the CW curse?
Yeah, that's
so North Carolina was a this is all games that took place at 1 p.m. on the CW. North Carolina was a 24-point favorite. They lost to Virginia. Clemson, 9.5 today. They lose to NC State. Louisville, 7-point favorite as a top 15 team, lose to Pitt. Pitt, 6.5-point favorite. They lose to Cincinnati. Wake Forest, 3.5-point favorite. They lose. You do not want to be a favorite playing on the CW at 1 p.m. for whatever reason. I don't know.
It's meant for drama. That's why.
Yeah. Yes.
Meant for drama.
They're juicing up the ratings right now.
Yes.
Am I crazy though? Or are those cameras awful? Like I was getting like 20 FPS, like 480p. It felt like I did like the ref cam though. I like the ref cam.
I saw that last week. Clemson is just, you don't have a quarterback. It wasn't DJU's fault last year. It wasn't. You just kept wanting the blame. It's DJU. You don't have receivers.
No.
You relied. Everything had to go through Will Shipley. And the times that Cade came in last year, he was not better than DJU. No. Just wasn't.
He's playing out like that.
He's not very good, dude. He's not very good.
I feel bad. He's not awful, but like, He makes big mistakes, but he makes little mistakes. Like they had a 3rd and 1 at the end of the game or a 2nd and 1. And it's a wide open little like swing pass to easy. And the running back has to dive to catch it. And it's a no gain. And then I think back to like the, he pulled last week and wasn't supposed to, which
the
that's Florida
amazing State game.
One.
He should just hit the ball
FSU,
off.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The FSU game, he sails that ball on like the easy slant. Like he misses these plays that if you're going to be a big time 5-star quarterback, you just can't miss, dude.
They need to get him some help in the offseason though. Like you watch Florida State and you watch the big time transfer receiver make one handed catches for touchdowns, and you look at Clemson who didn't have
and Coleman's so good. Yeah, dude.
You didn't have receivers last year. You knew you didn't have them heading into this season, and you refused to bring anyone in. And it's just between average quarterback play and no help on the outside, it's the same damn offense as you had last year, unfortunately, with just a different play caller.
So Clemson loses, just the spiral continues. Miami, Virginia. Miami escapes with a big win. BYU, Texas.
Big win? Was it a big win or just a win? Can we just say it was a win?
Yeah, my bad. I fell back. That's a classic, like you do too many takes and you're thinking about the next thing you're going to say and you just throw out some sort of cliche. So I called it a big win because it went to overtime. So it actually did warrant the main screen of the setup here, which credit to it for making its way on the main screen on kind of a blowout sort of day. But no, you're right. Cristobal avoids being 72-70 for his career, and instead he's 73-69.
Miami should be 7-1, probably what you would think, like 12-13 in the first rankings.
Shoulda.
Take a damn knee.
Okay. Ronnie Baxter says Beck is getting better and better. He's a complete quarterback. He is big as fuck.
He's huge. Say that.
Aiden Lightkoski, Lincoln is taking the first NFL job he's offered.
I don't know if an NFL team wants him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what does he bring to an NFL? It's not
what, what's the difference between, I mean, I guess there's somewhat different because he has had more success in college football than, you know, who I'm thinking of. He's on his damn staff right now.
Arizona guy. Oh my God. Why are we blanking right now?
He's literally on the staff.
Cliff Kingsbury. Yeah.
Is there that much of a difference?
No, he's just like, he's a more polished Cliff Kingsbury, but you also see him like not really handling pressure well, right? Like you see him keeping players out the media, skipping. Well, I think he was sick this week, but whatever.
He was sick. Yeah.
Yeah. It's which this shingles bout, guys. Holy fuck. Shingles are awful, dude. I don't wish this on anybody.
USC is now tied at 43-43 with 6 minutes to go in the fourth. He's got to fire his DC. Like, enough's enough. Grinch got to go.
Well, I mean,
You got to.
What does the Constitution say? We hold these truths to be self-evident. I feel like it's not even worth talking about because obviously Alex Grinch has to go.
Their next two games for USC, their next three games, Washington, Oregon, UCLA, all three of those teams can score 50 plus on them.
Sorry, I zoned out because Bill Kibbe said, eat a few gummies. It helps with shingles pain. Bill, you listen to the show. You know me. You don't think I've been just gobbling up gummies? It's just awful. It just doesn't help. I want to do a little YouTube short, Aaron.
Okay.
Give me the top receivers in the entire country right now. See what you got. We'll let the boys edit up afterwards.
Wow, this came out of nowhere. This was not planned ahead of time.
No, I know. You want me to give them to you?
And then no. I'll give it to you. Anybody? Do you want me to give you like my top five receivers?
I want like
right
stream
now?
Of consciousness. Give me like who do you think should be like? I know there's like 30 people on like the Blitnikoff watch list. Okay. But give me your like six or seven that you think could actually win the Blitnikoff.
Okay. First, let me go with Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Luther Burden.
Yep.
Rome Odunze.
Yep.
Marvin Harrison Jr. Obviously, probably Marvin would be number one on that list. I like the Troy Franklin kid from Oregon.
Oh yeah, we don't give Franklin enough credit. That's true. Okay, I'll throw him on the list. You know, it's kind of embarrassing. There was a certain name that I feel like doesn't get mentioned enough, and that was the entire impetus behind starting this conversation. And I've now forgotten who I was trying to talk about.
Those are really the top ones for me.
No, there's another one that we're missing, and now I feel like my
Are you trying to get your boy Brian Thomas in there?
Nope. Not an LSU guy. Nope. Now I feel like this entire thing was just a futile exercise in me being a shitty host because the entire point was to mention the one fucking guy that I'm forgetting about now.
Do you know where he plays?
No. Yes. We were talking about it earlier. The group text with my boys. Hold on. God damn it, dude.
Oh my goodness.
I blew this. I'm sorry.
I apologize for everyone listening right now.
No, it's an absolute disaster, dude. Just talk about something else.
Anyone from Texas? Texas?
Oh, wait.
Here we go. There we go. Save it, T-Bob.
No, I can't find it. Shit. Okay, Aaron, talk about just like one other thing while we do this.
All right, let's, what else? What else went well today? I think that was it for the show. T-Bob just wanted to get fancied and finish things off.
I know. I tried to end on a flourish, dude. I really.
Completely.
No, guys.
Flubbered
it. Oh, Keon Coleman. Fuck.
Oh yeah, there you go.
God, dude, Keon Coleman. No, yeah, he needs to be in there. Am I crazy?
No.
Like, we always talk about Marvin. There. We always talk about Luther. We always talk about Malik. All these guys.
The problem with Keon, he had a few game stretch where he completely disappeared.
Yeah, but now he's got nine tuds.
I know. He's balling out. He disappeared for a while. I think that's what hurt him.
Yeah, I agree. You actually probably still should make that into a TikTok because it was such fucking disaster. But Keon, that entire thing was to just give Keon Coleman props. Okay.
And that is why Keon Coleman will not be in the conversation because you purposely wanted to bring him up and you still forgot him.
I guess you're right.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out FSU though. FSU's looking good, Aaron. FSU's looking good. True or false? They look good. Like, subscribe. We love you. Remember, I wore that Volume crew neck sweater. I had to wash it, so I couldn't wear it tonight's show, but I've been starting to wear that crew neck sweater yet. It's so fucking comfortable. Buy it on the merch store. But remember, guys, Nebraska is now 5-3 and tied for the lead in the Big Ten West after Wisconsin loses tonight. There's never been a better time to buy Corn Hub merch. Look at the link right below the video. And
Washington right now. What's up with Washington? They're only up 7-0. Penix is 1 for 4 for 10 yards. Come on.
Oh, wait, guys, listen. Do you hear that?
Come on.
Do you hear that, guys? That's someone who made a bet. And is putting undue expectations on a team because they made a bet. Okay. Look, Washington's going to be just, what are you talking about? Washington's about to make it 14-0. Watch after this drive, bitch.
Come on.
All right. Thank you all so much for hanging out this night. It's so much fun. We love you. Back on YouTube.com/@VolumeSnaps live on Monday with a brand new show. A huge thank you to Pat Gunther, Chris Tran, Danny Cardenas, Adam Gracia, just everybody here on the Snaps team, man. Everybody works so freaking hard putting all this content out, and we love it. And so if you like, subscribe, if you're listening on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, rate, review, help the Snaps boys continue to grow. We love you so much, and we'll see you later. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your college football Saturday night.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets, and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.